Welcome to Job Tales, the show where we find out about different professions from people who know. Each week I speak to a new guest with a fascinating job. I talk to mathematicians, psychologists, bakers, astronauts, you name it. You'll hear about their personal paths to doing what they do, the skills required, and the tools they use for the job. I'm Laura Leoncini, and today my guest is Bianca Tassinari, biology teacher. From her studies in Bologna to her PhD in Ireland, Bianca tells us what fascinates her in the world of biology, from bio, life, and logos, study, the study of living organisms. Bianca Tassinari, I'm very glad to have you on my podcast. You are a biology teacher. Before becoming a biology teacher, though, you did a lot of things, and I would like to, you know, trace back to your years of study. Can you tell me what you studied?
Yeah, of course. So, hi, Laura. Thank you a lot for this opportunity to talk about my job. And well, I started to study biology in Bologna back in 2003, 2004 it was. Then I took the bachelor and the master degree in cellular and molecular biology. So the really tiny, tiny, tiny processes that are in humans and in plant and animals. After that, I moved to Dublin, so in Ireland, for years, and I took the PhD in environmental biology. And I used to study part of the plants that could be used to clear water. So a really modern and actual process to purify water. After that was 2014. And after that, I moved in Germany. So,
you are 2003 and then 2014. So that's quite a long time in between.
Yeah.
What did you do? Like, does it take that long to study biology?
Biology itself in Bologna was 5 years, okay. And then 4 years in Ireland. So more or less with a little bit delay and everything, 10 years of study in all. And then afterwards, as I said, I moved in Germany, and there I started to teach. So it was a little bit different way, as expected.
And so when you were doing your PhD, did you have a plan in mind?
Not really, I have to say. My PhD, the theme of my PhD itself, it was a little bit unexpected. I worked, my thesis, bachelor and master degree were both in plants. But when I started the PhD in the environmental field, it was like a destiny, I would say. There was this position, it was about plants, it was about purifying water in a novelty way. And I said, why not? And I just started. And I learned a lot of stuff that I didn't know because, of course, all about water purification, water treatment, it's something that usually in biology you don't do it, no? So everything was new. I was always in mind to start to teach. And I, even in the PhD, we had the opportunity to be tutor of master or bachelor students. So I taught them a little bit, and it was something that I had always in my mind, but it was not clear at that time. So I said, okay, let's see after the PhD what comes. And then for me was clear that I didn't want to live in Ireland for all my life.
Okay.
Because of the weather. It was really difficult as Italian, not have the summer and not have warm days. It was really difficult, and it was too far away. It was a beautiful experience. I made a load of friends, a load of contacts, but it was clear at the end of that time that I need to go back in Italy or at least near.
And, nearby, yeah.
Exactly. And then
when you did your studies, you know, the 5 year studies in Bologna, what brought you to do those studies? You know, were you
I was interested to the how does it work life So in the real terms of biology, no? Biology has this bio as a life and logos that is studied. So really to understand what's going on, no?
The study of life.
Exactly, exactly. So what happened in humans, what happened in plants, and what happened in animals. And it was really fascinating to see that we are more or less all connected, no? When we see the little processor, the pathways that make us live, it's all more or less all the same. And that was what I wanted to understand. And that's why I decided to took then molecular biology as a specialization. So that was the reason why.
Okay. And what would be the, let's say, outcome of your five-year study? If you didn't have your PhD, what would have been the choices you had?
Well, usually a lot of people work in industry. Who doesn't take the PhD life and then the research life? Most of them try to work in industry. That's the main, I would say, work that biologists can do. Then there is the quality check as well. But you see, it's always in industry, more or less. Or becoming teacher, that's a possibility as well. But mainly, I would say, work in industry and research maybe in industry or do quality check in the process, many processes. So that are the outcomes.
Okay. Was there a specific science in your childhood or in your young age that would lead you to choosing biology or science?
Well, I think I have in my head these pictures of me. I was more or less 7 or maybe 8 years old, and I had this book about science. I think it was a primary school book. I don't know if you know this Sussidiario. That was a big book with everything, no? And I was looking in the scientific part, and I started to copy a cell. So how a cell, it's done. And I think I have the feeling that that moment set up a little bit the story, no? Or my interest in the scientific part. So I have really this picture that I saw, the cell, okay, that the nucleus, that the DNA, and I started to copy, and I made a cell myself. And I would say it was the start somehow.
Awesome. So your PhD is, of course, like a commitment, you know, 4 years of study on one subject. After the PhD, did you have any specific, let's say, job offers, or what led you to then, you know, choose the career you have today?
I would say after the PhD, I wasn't really sure what to do, I must say, because I knew that I didn't want to stay in the academia. So all the part about postdoc research, grow fundings, research, papers, writing, that I would say it's more the bureaucratical part of research, didn't interest me. I said, okay, I understood that staying in academia, it's not really my thing, my cup of tea. So I just started to think, okay, maybe I should work in industry and do protocols and so research in industry. But when I moved in Germany, my field was really specific. So it wasn't so easy to find something, I have to say. And then when I found something, it was in the school where I work. Because along as teacher, I work as lab technician as well. And there was a lab technician. So the first step was entering the school as lab technician. And I said, okay, that's a start. And then came up a substitute teacher in biology. And then so I started to work as biologist teachers as well. And since then, I started to work as biology and integrated science teacher as well, along the lab technician. So I still do both sides. So a little bit in lab technician, I can keep going with my research quasi or stay in the lab. And as biology teacher, I can teach the student and bring this idea I had always in my head to teach and say, okay, let's see. So I could combine both parts, no?
I have a question for you. In what would you say that your job is interesting?
What I think it's interesting is work with children and young people. So you have always an idea of what's going on in the new generation. And that's really interesting to see how they are and a little bit, I must say, a comparison to do, no, with how I was at their age. That's really interesting to see how it's changed the way of teaching as well. It's not anymore the teacher comes and sit down at the desk, do the lessons, and that is okay. And, okay, test, exercises, of course. But I think nowadays the teacher must be a little bit like an actor. Don't get me wrong, but I mean, you have to keep the interest in the kids because the kids are now have so many inputs, and with the internet, with ChatGPT, they can do everything, literally everything. And what I saw is that the children are, I think, even more curious than what we were, maybe. Because I think really because of all these inputs that they got.
Yeah, more information that's been thrown out to them, yeah, for sure.
Exactly. So so you have really to find a way to catch their attention and to keep this attention through the hour, no? And the way it's really changed from what we lived, no, in the past, no, as students.
So you being having studied biology, you know, in depth up to the PhD. Now the teaching part, did you have to learn it on the field, or did you also follow some course to, you know, a teaching habilitation, let's say?
It's both. There's a part about more the method and psychological part I had to study.
Okay.
But there is a load of part that is really learning by doing, because you don't know which kind of teacher you are until you are not at the desk, I would say. So only doing it, you understand, okay, maybe I should do this part a little bit better, or sometimes it happens maybe that you said, okay, I was too strict or I was too soft. So even with the kids, so it's all a balancing a little bit, no? Or for example, as biologists, as you said, I studied many topics really in depth. But as a teacher, you cannot go so sometimes, so in the details, no? And that's the trickiest part, I would say, because you always say, okay, maybe it's too much, but if I don't say that, it's not so interesting, so you have to find the good balance.
And what advice would you give to people who want to enter your line of work?
First of all, patience. Load of patience.
Lots of patience.
Because as a teacher, you need it. Definitely you need it. And then to enjoy it. Really to enjoy it.
What do you wish they told you, you know, years ago about the job that you didn't know then?
Well, patience I wouldn't say, because I am, I have a load of patience as
a person.
That's my core quality. I would say that there are a load of tools that helps you to make the lessons more interesting. That's something that I learn only do it, as only teaching, as in these 4 or 5 years of teaching. That's something that I would do. And I would suggest that people maybe only ask the senior to advise and to mainly to advise, to say, oh, I saw that, how I should do it. Or do you know if there is a website or a tools that I can use to help the children to understand this topic better?
I was thinking when you were saying about you studying the cell when you were seven. Now, would you say that there should be a way, or there could be a way to indicate kids at that age, or even 10 or 15, that might be the right path for them? Like, it must be, for me, quite difficult to, you know, I'm good at science, for example, but how would I choose, you know, math over biology or zoology or, you know, other sciences?
Yeah, that's difficult to say, I have to say, because it's really a personal thing. It's on the personal level. I think it's really important to hear the teacher and the parents, how these two figures know the kid and they can help him or help her to identify more or less the field, at least the field, let's say. So I think it's quite tricky. So I think it's really a combination of these two. So parent and teacher. So if you have, of course, I think every one of us lived that. If you have a good biology teacher, I say biology because it's my it's my field, but it can be Italian or German or whatever. If you have a good biology teacher that can really help give you some tips and say, oh, try to study this, or have you seen that? I don't know, how does it work, the cell, how, I don't know, the photosynthesis or the other topics in biology. And then you see that the kid is really interested, then that's a luck that you say, okay. As I said, but the parent has to do their jobs as well and really keep an eye on the kid and understand what could be the field in which the kid can success or have interest. Success is not, I don't mean, earn a load of money, no? It's okay, I enjoy it, I really like it, and I do it with passion.
You know, parents always and often, you know, think about the future of their kids, and oftentimes, yeah, like they try to measure success or, you know, the happiness of your child. Now, would you say that if you study biology, no matter what you do, you're going to end up with a job?
Yeah, definitely. It's, of course, depends on you. Which way do you want to take then? As biology, of course, as we said already, the research, of course, is number one.
Right.
So that's the first step. If you don't want to stay in industry, in the academia, then you have industry possibilities, teaching possibilities. There are sometimes a part that I'm not sure how to say, but it's about marketing. So I see recently there are biologists that can, they are always in the industry, but they cures, let's say they take more the marketing aspect, no? So for a drugs, for a new pharmacologically,
a compound or
exactly.
Something. Yeah.
So there is even these aspects that now it's really new, but that's another possibility. So there are different paths, I would say, you can take.
So the doors are open. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So exactly.
You can let's say if I want to compare, for example, communication sciences and biology, there's a fair chance that you'll find a job as a biologist, having done biology studies, maybe equal or more than communications, or equal or more than other branches. I don't know, law or no degree at all. I mean, that could also be the case.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So there are different ways that you can take even applying to your own personalities, of course. I have a load of friends that say, no, I want to stay in the academia because I want to be a researcher. I want to be done a professor because, of course, that's the path. So researcher and then at one stage professor. Other that they say, no, I don't want to stay in the academia anymore. I want to stay in industry, do my stuff in the industry. And that is, or as like me, say, okay, no, I want to do something else. I like teaching the staff how to explain how does it work, the cellular or the biological process, and then stay more in the teaching part. So you can really
shape it around your, what's your preference, right?
Yeah.
And is there any myth around your job?
Do you mean the teaching part?
Yes.
As a teacher,
biologist, actually, like, is there something that people think, oh yeah, if a biologist, that means that you do this or that, or you're this or that?
I can tell you both part, no? So as biologists, you have this myth that you enter in the lab and everything works. No, it doesn't. It's not like that. Absolutely. It takes sometimes weeks, months for an experiment to work. And sometimes can be really frustrating if you don't get the right amount of a compound or the right way to do and to get your experiment working. So that's sometimes what you heard. For example, my mom says, oh, why they don't discover already the cure for, I don't know, cancer or something like that. And I said, it's not so easy as it seems. We don't just enter in the lab, go in the lab, put some chemicals, put some drugs together and then magically work. It takes a load of really work to plan this experiment, to see how it works, if it works. So it's not like that. So that's the myth about biology as a researcher. As teacher, the big, I think, myth is we have a load of time, no? You know, with vacation.
Yes, that's true.
And afternoons. It's not like that. It's actually a load of work that we have to do at home, plan lessons, meeting with the parents, and organizing tests, of course, correcting the test. And that's a part that no one sees. And it takes a load of times, a load of energies. I would say, of course, when it's summer, of course, it's a little less. But I mean, I can tell you the experience I have in my school. It's not an Italian school, so the holidays are a little bit different. So our students are finished usually around the first week of July. But as a teacher, we have normally another week after the end of the school and another week before the beginning of the school. Or maybe, for example, in the winter holidays, so for Christmas, also Christmas holidays, we don't really work in the school, but maybe you have to prepare tests, you have to prepare your lessons, maybe there are some workshop you want to attend on to do something more. So it's not so free as one can think.
Bianca, I want to thank you very much. I wish we could have more time. Maybe next year you can tell me more about your teaching stories. Thank you for being my guest at the podcast, and I wish you a great day.
Patience and enjoyment, the two keywords in Bianca's life as a biology teacher. You've listened to another episode of Job Tales. Keep listening to my podcast. And if you want to be my next guest, write me at jobtalespodcast, all one word, @gmail.com. Remember, it's TALES. Bye.